On Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, the Gemara sets up the Zman for the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Let's just read it inside. This would be approximately 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. And the Gemara says the following. You'll see on the right side, it Tosfos De'ilo Adlik. And across from there it says, one line down, Mitzvaso Mishetishke Achama Ad Shetichle Regel Minashuk. So if you take this literally, it seems like the mitzvah starts with Shkia Sachama, with sunset. That's a pella. You and I might say, well, why not? What's the big deal? But it is a big deal, because basically nightfall is Tseis HaKochavim. For example, if you open up the first Mishnah in Masechta Brachos, which is the first Mishnah in Shas, you'll see that the time for Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar, Shel Arvis, is going to be with Tseis HaKochavim. Well, at least according to most of the Shittas. I mean, there are other Shittas there too. And basically, your definition of Laila emerges with Tseis HaKochavim. Now, it could be that from Shkia till Tseis is a period of time which we call Bein HaShemoshos. But Bein HaShemoshos is Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. We don't know whether it's day or night. It would seem quite odd, to say the least, that we would establish a mitzvah of Laila with Shkia Sachama, unless the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah has nothing to do with Laila. I don't know. But if we assume that Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah of Laila, then the inception of Laila in Shas, I mean in all of Halacha, is Tseis HaKochavim. Here it says Mishetishka Chama. And what we're going to try to develop, I mean, this is not an easy task, but the different answers, different approaches to this problem. One approach is going to say that don't take Mishetishka Chama literally. That it really doesn't mean with Shkia Sachama, it means the end of Shkia Sachama. And some are going to say it means the second Shkia Sachama, because there are two Shkia Sachamas. And others are going to say that Chanukah is different than all other mitzvahs, and it's not really a mitzvah halayla. Again, we're going to have various approaches to this question, and it's probably the most relevant question, halacha lemaisa, in Hilchos Chanukah. But let's leave that on the side for a moment, because the Gemara thinks that Mishetishka Chamat Shetichla Regel Menashuk means that it has to be lit for that entire period of time. And that's why the Gemara says, my love, to eat Kavsa Hadar Madlikli, that we should activate the principle of Kavsa Zakuk law, and you have to guarantee that the light be lit for this entire period of time. So in a certain sense, not totally, but it's at least a partial solution to that problem. Because if we're going to assume that the light has to be lit all the way until at Shetichla Regel Menashuk, that's a period of time of Varei Laila. That's already after Tseis HaKochav. Again, it's not a total solution. It's sort of like dodging the question, because we want to know when the mitzvah starts, not when it ends. But at least we could say that the end of the mitzvah hangs on to Tseis HaKochav, and that's at Shetichla Regel Menashuk. I mean, Lamad Dover Doma, it's like lighting Chanukah candles on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, I have no choice but to light before Shkia Sachama. After Shkia Sachama, it's already Shabbos. I can't light the candles. But if we assume, let's say, for example, the Taz Shita, that with regard to Leil Shabbos, everybody agrees that Kof Sezokakla, and if it goes out, I have to rekindle it. Again, only if it's before I was Mekabel Shabbos. Or, for example, the other post can point out you have to guarantee that there's enough ner, there's enough shemen in the ner to last until Tseis HaKochavim. So there is already a precedent, at least on Shabbos, with this concept that we start a process very early, maybe even before the Shas Chiyuv, because it's before Shkia on Leil Shabbos, and yet the culmination of that process is later on when the ner is doluk on Shabbos, or shall we say after Tseis HaKochavim. So again, as I said, there's a partial solution to that problem. How could the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah possibly begin before Laila at Shkia? And the answer is, at least the Ner will be Doluk after Tseis HaKochav, and that's called Achetichla Regel Menashuk. The only problem is that all that is predicated on the assumption that Kavsa Zakukla, that I must have a Ner Doluk that's lit all the way until Achetichla Regel Menashuk. But the Gemara, in fact, rejects this. And the Gemara says, lo, l'shi'ura. Inami l'shi'ura. Oh, wait a second, I skipped one line, sorry. Lo, de'ilo adlik, madlik. Which means that you don't have to have a ner dolik that's lit during this entire period of time and it covers the Zaka Club, but rather you have this leeway to light the ner Chanukah. You can light the ner Chanukah from the time of Shkiyas HaChama up until but not beyond Ad Shetich L'Regel Min HaShuk. And that's called Kavsa Ein Zaka Club.
Just to split here, you don't mean until Tzeisek Chama, you mean a bit afterwards, right?
Right.
Until it means nothing. So it has to be
right, I mean to say,
beyond. It has to go beyond it.
Right. Spill over into.
And that would be like the mitzvah if you consider darkness to be the.
Correct. If you assume that it's a mitzvah Laila, that's number one. And number two, that Laila is Tzeisek Chama, then you're going to have to see that your nair that you set up before Laila will continue into Laila. I use the term, it'll spill over into Laila, meaning at some point the Nair is still Dolok before Laila. In the case of Shabbos, in order to guarantee that, we're going to have to put so much of a volume of oil in the Nair that it's going to have to last so long that it'll go into Shabbos itself, meaning you have to say Sakochovim. But you have no option on Leil Shabbos because you can't light it at night. Here we're talking about during the Chol, the Mea Chol of Chanukah, and yet despite the fact that you have a great option of lighting with Tzeisek HaChovid, the Braisa tells you to light with Shkiyas HaChama, and that's a very upsetting concept that's going to, this whole article that I gave you photocopied here, which is on the table, it all revolves around this issue. How could it be Mishatishka HaChama? That's before Laila. And imagine, just to dramatize my question for pedagogical purposes, imagine on the very first night of Chanukah, it's before Shkiyas HaChama, and basically what's the calendar date? It's the 24th of Kislev, and you're lighting a Ner Chanukah. How could you be lighting a Ner Chanukah on the 24th of Kislev? And again, just to add what I call salt to an open wound, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you're in a shasat chak, you know, you're going off on a business trip, you're allowed to light the Ner Chanukah as early as Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter before Shkia. Clearly the 24th of Kislev, it's a little bit odd to say the least, that we're fulfilling the main mitzvah of Chanukah, namely Ner Chanukah, on the 24th of Kislev. What status does the 24th of Kislev have in Allah? So again, this whole parsha called Zman Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, which is the title of that article, that essay I gave you, is a very perplexing title. And what I'd like to do is, before we try to really analyze this and you know, how should I say, rip it apart, you know, piece by piece, I think we should have a little bit more of a discussion about the two Lashonos here in Agamara. The first Lashon says the Ilo Adlik Madlik, which means Kavsa Ein Zakakla, and the second Lashon says Viname Lishiura, which also assumes that Kavsa Ein Zakakla, but nevertheless I have to put in a volume of oil into the Nair such that it'll last for a full half hour. So there's a paradox here, because if you, why, what's the, this seems like a, almost an exercise in futility. I mean, what are you doing? You're putting enough oil into the Nair to last for a half hour, and yet it's not going to last for a half hour, meaning if it goes out halfway through, you don't have to rekindle. So imagine 2 minutes after you lit the candle, it went out. You know, you have issues about if he lit it in a place where the Ruach Metsuya will blow it out. I'm not talking about that. You know, he lit it in a fair place. You know, we have no reason to anticipate that the wind will blow it out. But if, as a matter of fact, as bad luck would have it, the wind blew it out, you don't have to rekindle it, because the Gemara is holding now Kofsa Ein Zakla. So what's the point to having enough shemen in the Nair that'll last for a half hour when it doesn't even have to last for a half hour? Haraya, if it goes out in the middle, you don't have to rekindle it. In other words, if I held Kofsa Zakakla, then the shear of Nair, of Shemin in the Nair, would be perfect. Since Kofsa Zakakla, I have to have a Nair Doluk, and I have to guarantee that it'll be lit for that whole period of time, and Kofsa Zakakla, I have to rekindle, then I understand. You must put in a shear of Shemin that would guarantee you at least the possibility that it will last the whole time. And if, as bad luck would have it, it didn't last the whole time, then you have to rekindle. But if you're going to maintain that Kovsa ain't Zucker Klum, it's a little bit paradoxical to say on the one hand Kovsa ain't Zucker, you don't have to rekindle it, but you have to guarantee that you have enough oil in the thing. Or why not just put in enough oil to last for 2 minutes? Why shouldn't that be enough? It's a lot of choppy business over here. Now, another issue that I want to address with you is the issue of someone who works late and he's going to come back way, way into the wee hours of the night. You know, maybe he'll come back midnight, Chatzos Laila, or even beyond. Now, we've seen that the time for Hadlokas Neros is between Shkia Sachama and Achetichla Regel Menashuk. He's coming back way after Tichla Regel Menashuk. So the poskim want, you know, they want to know the following. I mean, one set of poskim is going to say, you know what? You're in an impossible situation. You have one of two choices. Either you drop your job, or at least for Hanukkah, or what you're going to have to do is you're going to have someone else light on your behalf. In other words, that group of poskim, which we'll see in a minute inside, they maintain that this business of a shas hadlaka, a very specific, well-defined zman hadlaka, that is critical to the mitzvah of Chanukah. And if you can't do it, my friend, because you're in a business thing, then either you have to forfeit one of two things: forfeit Ner Chanukah, forfeit your business, or have someone else light on your behalf. So, for example, if a man is married, it's very simple. He'll ask his wife, according to this school of thought, to light for him at the Zman Hadlaka, and he'll be yotzei the mitzvah. And you'll see in a minute that that's the opinion of Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef, on this very contemporary problem, which comes up so often in our modern context. You know, in the old days, maybe people worked close to home, but now they work who knows where and late hours. You even have people who make aliyah and they continue working on the clock of chutzlaretz. Again, depending upon what chutzlaretz is, but it might be that their main working hours are exactly when you should be lighting their Hanukkah. Because those are the hours in chutzlaretz, let's say the United States, those are U.S. hours, when they're working. So if he wants to keep that job, that's... If you're on the other end in the business of... how do you say in English, Rentgen, x-rays, right? So if you read x-rays, you're a radiologist. So you're God's gift to the world for these hospitals in America. Why? Because they don't have anybody to read the x-rays at night. So you're here reading the x-rays at night. So that's great, except for one thing. What do you do with Ner Chanukah? So again, Rav Avadya Yosef would advocate in such a case, tell your wife to light the Ner Chanukah for you, and forget it. That's it. That's your mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. You have no other mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Because Rav Avadya Yosef is going to wave this flag that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah has to be done, has to be fulfilled in its time, in its proper time. We're not going to mess around.
There's no chisaron in that, though. I mean, you're saying... So then
I want to give you the other side.
What we can do.
What's the drawback to this? This is a tshuva. Have you ever heard of the Shevet HaLevi? He died not long ago. Rav Vosner. So the Shevet HaLevi says, "Name, I want you to light Ner Chanukah." So I can't light Ner Chanukah. I won't be back until late. You will light Ner Chanukah, according to the Shevet HaLevi, whenever you come back.
Good morning, bracha. Say the Shema until.
Oh, so when it comes to the Shema, so we hold that B'shobacha means any time that people are sleeping, meaning the whole night. It doesn't just mean when you go to sleep. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, where we said, I should tichle regel min ashuk, which means a half hour after Shkia Sachama, he's coming back at midnight, and the Shevet HaLevi is saying, I don't care what your wife lives. Yeah, your wife will lie. She will lie. But you'll also lie. Why? Because we want you to be personally involved in the mitzvah. That's called, in many different phrases that indicate this, one phrase is called mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho. I'd rather do it myself, and that's how I embellish the mitzvah, rather than send an agent. And the other phrase that they use very often, especially in Hilchos Chanukah, is called chavivus ha-mitzvah. And the chavivus ha-mitzvah expresses itself in the fact that I will light myself. So according to Shevet Halevi, we don't want to mess around with this whole business of let your wife light on your behalf. That's fine. She can light bismano, but you'll have to light when you come home. And Rav Avadya Yosef takes offense almost. You know, he really objects to this approach, because according to Rav Avadya Yosef, since the mitzvah is so dependent upon that time period, which ends with Hashatichla Regem and Ashur, therefore he feels that in his halachic understanding that when his wife lit on his behalf, that's it, the mitzvah is done. And once the mitzvah is done, if you go ahead and light on your own, it's meaningless. And it's worse than meaningless, because you're going to go ahead, according to the Shevet Halevi, and do what?
Make a bracha.
That, according to Rav Avadya Yosef, is a bracha batol. That bracha has no significance. So one of the kashas that they ask Rav Avadya Yosef, it's a famous question, is why can't he just have in mind, why is he so opposed to the approach of the Shevet Halevi? Shevet Halevi makes sense, because Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucha, he wants to have an opportunity to do the mitzvah himself. He can't give up his job, but let him do it himself when he comes back. Oh, so you'll ask me, but Rav Avadya Yosef, if he was here, he would say, but she lit on your behalf, and once she lit on your behalf, the mitzvah is gone. So the Shevet Halevi will say that you don't have in mind that she should light on your behalf. You can't do a mitzvah on my behalf without my appointing you as my shliach. I have to single you out and appoint you. Here, I'm not going to appoint you as my shliach because I want to do the mitzvah myself. So the fact that she lights Ner Chanukah Bizmano, that's great, because we want to enhance the mitzvah by lighting Bizmano, and she has the opportunity to do so. Let's encourage her to do so, because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is incumbent not just on the men, but also on the women. So she'll get the perfect ideal mitzvah by lighting Mishat Tishkach Hamad Shetichla Regem and Ashur. What about him? So you'll tell me, as Rav Avadya Yosef keeps yelling and screaming, he was already yotze with his wife's lighting. Mehecha Tasty, has Rav Avadya Yosef no such thing? Maybe he has in mind, in order to get the mitzvah himself, that he doesn't want his wife to represent him. I don't know if you've ever heard such a thing, a man, a husband, doesn't want his wife to represent him. But no, it's not shy. Okay, good. We're all in favor of healthy marriages. But in this case, I don't want my wife to represent me. I want to get the opportunity to do the mitzvah myself. There's no such thing as shlichus against a person. You can't force it down a person's throat. So if you'll take a look in this Sefer Ratz Kitzvi, this was the last part of the article that we never got a chance to look at, to try to defend Rav Avadya Yosef. So I want you to see it inside. Again, for those who have an interest in seeing the text inside, and you'll turn to page Kuf Lamed Tes. So you'll see, this is very interesting. It's Simon Tes and it's Seif Tes. It's pretty easy to remember this. 9:9, right? So he first quotes the Shevet Halevi, and then he quotes the Yechav Hadas. Shevet Halevi is Rav Vosner, Rav Shmuel Vosner, and Yechav Hadas is Rav Avadya Yosef. And it's really quite fascinating, because I have a suspicion that the Ashkenazim, tell me if I'm wrong, would probably exhibit the minhag, fulfill the minhag of the Shevet Halevi, and not just because he's an Ashkenazim, but because the whole thrust of the Ashkenazic approach to Ner Chanukah is that everybody gets involved personally. For example, you may recall that there's a mahadrik called Ner L'chol Echa V'Echa, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin said Ner L'chol Echa V'Echa means that you just light X number of candles that reflect the X number of people in your household. Whereas the Ramah, representing the Ashkenazic approach, he says no, every single person should be lighting their own Ner Chanukah. And when you remember, we had a discussion about whether a young girl should light Ner Chanukah, or the Ketanim in general should light Ner. Should the wife light Ner? I mean, there's so many issues here, because the Ramah wants everybody to get personally involved. Whereas the Mechaber, based on the Rambam, who came way before him, that's the Sephardic approach. There's one Madlik, and the question is how many candles he should light. So there's the Ikra Din, and there's Mahajan, Mahajan, Minimahajan. But there's never an issue of getting everybody involved personally, as if it were a Chovas HaGuf. Here also, I think this is another expression of this whole this whole controversy or debate about the nature of Ner Chanukah. The Shevet Levi, and Shevet HaLevi is going to take the approach, we want to get you personally involved. You're on a business trip. Get back to your house, I don't care when, and light the Ner Chanukah. So take a look, if you on the top left column, this is the Shoel who raised the question to the Shevet HaLevi. The answer you'll see on the bottom of the column. The Shoel says, Ha'im ha'ish yofel l'manos l'chatilas ishto b'tor shaliach l'hadlik ner chanukah bizmana, meaning at the time of Ner Chanukah, the Tshkiyah, Tzeis HaKokhov, the very Shittas. Why? Because he's going to come back at a very late hour. Oh, or should we say no? All of Becholof, and despite the late hour, he's obligated to kaim a mitzvah bo yosef b'mishlucho. This is a question that was raised and presented to the Shevet HaLevi. The Chavadas of Rav Yosef on the same issue, and I say to you, Rabbos, I can't tell you how relevant this issue is. It is so commonplace to have this question, what to do in this case of people who come back from business at a very late hour. Is it not common? Am I just making this up? I mean, I know from my own life, it's very often. I just can't get there on time. By the way, if you travel to Chutzlar, it's any time around this, you know, Hanukkah time, these issues come up all the time because you're not back, you know, from Ben Gurion Airport or if you're there at JFK, whichever airport you're on, until very late hours. So what do you do? So Rav Avadya Yosef says the fact, in Rav Alavai Shalu Yuchal B'chofen L'spanos Mi'asokov, he can't resign from his job, you know, he's got to support his family. So Eina Yochal Olechas U'lahadlik Ner Chanukah in Nosea, he goes from one city, the Chutz city, far and far, from Yoshul Beis HaShom U'cheres, Tov V'nochon, Shiemanes Ishto, he should appoint his wife, Shetia Shlucho, she should be his shliach, lahadlikim tzeis hakochovim. Then he tells you exactly how to calculate tzeis hakochovim. And then he says, ubazeh yikaiva mitzvah bizmano. Now, in the next line, he asks the kasha of the Shevet HaLevi, without mentioning the Shevet HaLevi. He says, v'yachal gav dehalocha ravachasi mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho. He's giving up his ability, his opportunity to personally be involved in the mitzvah. He says that's only when the mitzvah nasis bioso matzah bo b'shlucho. I'm going to rewrite the text here a little bit. I think what he means to say is if the kiyum would be the same, whether it's through a shliach or through me personally, then I got to do it myself. Aval, in the case, in the scenario where ha mitzvah nasis ayidei shliach bizmano, if the shliach will do the mitzvah, it will be enhanced because it will be bizmano. Ubi ito, and in its proper time, kitakonas chachamenu is adif tfei, that's more important than mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho. And I think what he's saying is the following, that if you have to decide in the scales between a mitzvah kitikuna, b'ito b'zmana, the way chacham established it, or give up on that for the sake of mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho, he's saying b'ito b'zmana is a din in the mitzvah itself. You remember we had a discussion about this with regard to Mahadran, Mahadran, Mina Mahadran, Rabbi Bezalel Zsolti, that Mahadran is upgraded to a higher level. You might even have to sell the shirt off your back in order to become Mahadran, because that's not just some general universal embellishment called Zekei L'Yaveh, but it's built into the Takon of the Mitzvah itself. And that's why the Neros of Hidur Mitzvah have a status equal to that of the Ikra Mitzvah, the first Mitzvah. You can make a broch on them, you're not allowed to be mishtamish with them, the whole nine yards. A similar thing here we see in Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef is saying that Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho is a general halacha of Zeh Kelim Yaveyu, to embellish the Mitzvah, I do it personally. But this halacha that should be the Ito Bizmano, that's Kitikuna. That's a Kitikuna, means that's built into the nature of Mitzvah Chanukah. That takes precedence. So you're going to give up on mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho for the sake of your business dealings, and you're going to be mekayim the mitzvah Ner Chanukah vicariously through your wife's hadlaka, and at least it's going to be kitikuna. And what makes her hadlaka kitikuna, whereas your hadlaka at midnight is not kitikuna? The zvana mitzvah, the ita u'bizman. So everything seems absolutely beautiful here. We understand Rav Avadia Yosef, and that's how the Sfaradim are knowing that they appoint the wife to light the candle, except for one problem. Why can't I just say I don't want to be Maman and my wife? Let her do her mitzvah, and I'm going to do my mitzvah, and we'll split it into two. And in that case, what do we gain by splitting it into two? It's not as if that the mitzvah was already fulfilled. If you take a look on the flip side of your page on Kuf Mem, he says the following. This is a paragraph that starts with the word ach. You have that, John? You have that ach? You have such a paragraph?
Yes.
He says in that paragraph, l'chora, he says, the whole argument of the Shevet HaLevi that you should get personally involved in the mitzvah and therefore light at midnight after your wife lights at Seisa Kochavim ain't called Makom Ladka Mitzad Alocha Shel Mitzvah Bo Yosmish. The whole argument of Mitzvah Bo Shlucha L'chora is irrelevant here. Why? Because the one who lit, and that was the wife, right, who lit it at first. She was the first lighter, right, at the time of Tzeisa Kochavim. Is she poteres es balabayis michiv adlokas ner? Meaning that Rav Avadia Yosef has an ironclad argument here. You cannot apply the yardstick of mitzvah bo b'shlucha if there's no mitzvah at all. The mitzvah was already fulfilled. Ne'er ishu besa. So the moment that she lit a candle, there's no longer a chiyuv mitzvah at all of Ner Chanukah. So how could the Shevet HaLevi possibly entertain and advocate that he should come home at midnight and light his own candle because of mitzvah bo yosef b'shluch? There is no mitzvah here. Now,
so then why do you tell everybody in your house to light a set of Chanukah candles? The mitzvah is to light. Why?
Excellent. So the answer is because I don't want to be yotzei with your candle. I want to be yotzei with my own candle. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Rav Osner is saying over here. Yeah, it's nice that the lady of the house is going to light at Seisa Kochavim, but I want to light my own candle. She doesn't have to represent me. So how could her lighting exclude me from the mitzvah? In other words, Rav Yosef's argument is at the face of it, looks like a very faulty argument. He's saying that it's absolutely meaningless for you to light the candle at midnight because she already lit the candle. The answer is, I didn't have her in mind as my shliach. Sam? I think Sam was first
My comment would be to this question, didn't see you ask that, was that you're making a shliach out of the Mahadam Mahadam according to the Ramah, which says you have to light it yourself.
And if you don't want somebody else to be.
And that you can say, that I didn't do. And my other comment is that other than the Ramah's thing, there is no boy. Who's the boy? She's the boy. He's the boy. The house is the boy. It's not like mitzvah boy. There's a shliach.
Excellent. Okay, so Sam already copped the punchline of my sheet. Okay. But let me just, again, I just want to hold off at Sam's breakthrough comment here. Again, at this point, we really don't understand Rav Avadia Yosef. At this point, again, I'm going to come and defend it, but I just want to show you where we're pouncing, you know, the barrage against Rav Avadia Yosef, so to speak. How can you tell me that she lit, and therefore it would be meaningless for me to light my own candle at midnight? What about the fact that I don't want it to light on my behalf? And if I don't want it to light my behalf, she doesn't represent me at all.
The way you presented it, if you had a scale, which is more important, being batik and doing it properly, or doing it as shlichus, being properly is more important. So I want to do it myself. Fine, but that's not as important as doing it on time.
Correct.
That's
his argument. So
the Sam going out of my way, the Sam don't want, that's not a proper
scale. So there's a ratio and a safety here. You're right. On the level of the ratio, you're right. That Rav Avadia Yosef is simply saying, why don't you appoint her as your shliach, and then you'll gain the inherent embellishment of the mitzvah kitikuna, that it should be lit in its time.
Right.
And therefore, the Shevet HaLevi's argument that you don't want her to be your shliach falls by the wayside.
Right.
The Ratz Kitzvi says, that would have been wonderful, and that ratio stands on its own 2 feet, except for one problem. And that is that Rav Avadia Yosef is saying that if you light later on, then it's a bracha batol, it's meaningless. then Rav Avadya Yosef is going with a different argument entirely. If Rav Avadya's argument would have stood and ended on this note of yours, that, look, I want to get the mitzvah ketikuna, for sure I want my wife to be shliach, that would have been fine. But Rav Avadya Yosef goes a step further, and he's saying that even if you would argue that chavimus ha-mitzvah, bo yosef v'shlucho, would motivate you to disqualify your wife as your shliach, discount her, I still have an argument against you. Why? Because she went ahead and lit the candle, and once she lights the candle, you no longer have a mitzvah. You don't have the opportunity of mitzvah bar yosef v'shlucho. Here Rabbi Yosef is going one giant step further. And here's where we get very perplexed. If Rabbi Yosef would have said, you know what, it's really worth your while, and it pays for you to appoint your wife as a shliach in order to achieve the mitzvah b'ito v'zmana, kitikuna, then nicha, then for sure, the Shevet HaLevi has no right to counter and say, well, I don't want my wife to be my shliach, because I want to do the mitzvah myself. Doing your mitzvah yourself is a very nice embellishment, but it's general, and it doesn't hold the candle, pardon the pun, to the mitzvah of kitikuna, to light in his mind. And if I definitely want her as a shliach, that would have been the counter argument against the Shevet HaLevi. But now Rav Avadya Yosef wants to take it a step further, and he wants to say that, let's say for whatever reason he decides he doesn't want his wife to be a shliach. So he says that at that point he forfeits the mitzvah. And if he would come back at midnight at light and make a bracha, it's a bracha of Atala. Why?
If he doesn't want his wife to be a shliach.
Right. So again, in the first argument, Rav Avadya is saying is you definitely want your wife to be a shliach in order to get to achieve the mitzvah of his man of the beat of his man. In the second argument, he's saying, even if I feel tim saloma, you would say, well, I don't want my wife to be my shliach. I want to do it myself. I'm so egocentric, so to speak. I love the mitzvah so much, I want to do it myself. I don't want my wife to be my shliach. Says Rav Avadya Yosef, for this thing, despite that, your mitzvah, when you come back at midnight, like yourself, is meaningless. Even though you don't want her to be your shliach. What's going on here? And here's where Sam introduces the concept of chovas habayis. Again, Alan, you might be a little bit what's the word when you're not allowed to park in a certain area because it's designated for the what do they call it? Disabled. Yeah, here you might be a little bit disabled because we've been working on this concept for like a week. But if you can get the tip of the iceberg, there's something called a chovas bayis.
Chovas.
Chovat habayit. I can write it down if I find the, oh, here it is. Here, take for example the mitzvah of mezuzah. Okay? Now, there are many people living in this house. Mm-hmm. Who is obligated to the mitzvah of mezuzah? I'll take it even a step further. Supposing we are all members of a household, and this guy from the street, who's totally a czar, an alien, he comes and puts up the mezuzah in our house. Mm-hmm. Are we obligated to the mitzvah of mezuzah? Can somebody tell me, you know what, go ahead and take down this mezuzah and put up your mezuzah? Absolutely not. Why? Because this is called a chovas habayis. Chovas habayis means that the obligation is to see to it that the bayis is equipped with a mezuzah. Once the bayis is equipped with a mezuzah, you have no mitzvah to put up a mezuzah. Same thing applies to makir. It's also another example of a chovas habayis, right? So if, let's say, you went ahead and put up a fence around my roof, without my appointing you as, I didn't appoint you as my shliach, it would be meaningless for me to put up a fence. The fence is already there. That's called a chovas habayis. Now, if we add to this list, I mean, these two cases, right, are absolutely clear. But now we have a much more complicated question, and that's Ner Hanukkah. If we add Ner Hanukkah to this list, that means that I don't have any obligation to light Ner Hanukkah. You don't have an obligation. There's a general obligation that's incumbent upon us as a bias to see to it that there's an Ner Hanukkah equipped in the bias. Once that Ner Hanukkah is equipped in the bias, even if I didn't appoint you as a shliach, then the mitzvah's gone. So what's the Shevet HaLevi going to say here? He's going to say, I instructed my wife, you want to light Ner Hanukkah at Seisek Chum, go ahead and do so, but you're working on behalf of yourself. You're not working on my behalf. I don't want you as my shliach. Says Rav Avadya Yosef, that wouldn't change the situation one iota. Because at the end of the day, mezuzah, I'm sorry, Ner Chanukah, like mezuzah, is a chobas habayis. She went ahead and she lit a candle. All right, she's not your shliach. It doesn't matter. Your obligation is only emerges when there's a bias that needs a Ner Chanukah. This bias doesn't need a Ner Chanukah. It already has a Ner Chanukah. And I think, and I honestly believe, that the answer to this question, because I want to make some sense out of the Ashkenazic minhag, which is reflected here in the Shevet HaLevi, is that we maintain that although you're right, Rav Avadya, that Chovas Ner Chanukah is a Chovas HaBayis, that's only as far as the Iker HaMitzvah is concerned. But as far as the Hider HaMitzvah, we accepted a new element and a new definition of Ner Chanukah. So there are really two definitions of Ner Chanukah. On one level, which is called the Iker HaMitzvah, Ner Chanukah is a Chovas HaBayis. On a second level, which is called Hider HaMitzvah, becomes a Chovas HaGuf, in which I myself want to be Yotzei, the Mitzvah personally, physically, with my body. And the fascinating thing is that Hider Mitzvah, in this case of Ner Chanukah, and only in this case of Ner Chanukah, could exist independent of the Iker HaMitzvah. So we have a Hider HaMitzvah without the Iker HaMitzvah. And if you remember last week, I got very tzehitz to that, because I was very upset that someone said that I can finish the Mitzvah and then do the Hider HaMitzvah. I don't know if you remember. Okay, hopefully he'll be mindful of me that I got very upset about it. Like, for example, it sits in She'enem Achvenes Hamila, you can only be Mekayim the Hider Mitzvah if you're still involved in the Mais Hamila, you haven't finished. Or if in Ner Chanukah, the Mishnah Berurah says that you haven't gotten to the eighth candle yet, so now you can be Mekayim the Mahadrim. But once the Mitzvah is gone and it was fulfilled, that's it. Here, we have an unbelievable exception. According to the Shevet HaLevi, which I think reflects our minhag, you can have an Iker HaMitzvah, which is Ner Yishuvesa, which means a Chovas HaBayis that was already fulfilled, and then stepping front forward, you know, a high profile, is a new mitzvah called Hider HaMitzvah. That's a Chovas HaGuf, in which every single person takes upon himself to light the Ner Chanukah. And that's what Alan was saying so well before, that when you have an Ashkenazic rite, R-I-T-E, right? I don't mean the rite of Ashkenaz, right? that one person lights the candles, then another person lights the candles, etc., etc., then you're in a very paradoxical situation, because once the first candle was lit, that's already a kiyum of Chovas HaBayis. Now comes along Shimon, after Reuven lit the candles, he wants to light his own candles with a bracha, so Alan's asking, how can he do so? The mitzvah's gone. And apparently what happens here is that through the mechanism or the agency of what's called Mahadrin, we have a whole new mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, in which we change the very fabric of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and its essential definition. It's no longer Chovas HaBayis, which it certainly is, but to top it off, we have now a Chovas HaGuf, and the Chovas HaGuf requires that each and every one of us will light our own Ner Chanukah, even though the Bayis was already equipped with a Ner. And that's a pella, because that doesn't exist neither in the case of Makkah nor in the case of Mezuzah. So therefore the Shevet HaLevi says, you know what? Your wife is going to light Be'ito B'zmanah K'tikuna at Seis HaKochav. And one mitzvah is already finito, and that's the mitzvah of Chovas HaBayis. Rav Avadya Yosef says at this point, there's no bias anymore. You know what I mean? As far as their chanukah is concerned, there's no mitzvah, there's no chiyuv, and it'd be ridiculous for you to light when you come home at midnight. Comes along the Shevet HaLevi, says, "V'toras ner ish ner l'chol echad v'echad," meaning, as far as the Mahadrin is concerned, we now have a new mitzvah that I can make a bracha on the Hider mitzvah. Like I was thinking to myself, what happens at a wedding? Have you ever been at a wedding where they actually light Hanukkah candles? Yeah, every single person has lit already before he came to the chasana, let's assume. So why do we light candles? And they make a bracha on it. At the White House, they make a bracha. I guess in every country it's different. They're like, what's going on? So the answer has to be, which again, we have to be spending another couple of weeks till we finally appreciate this answer, that the Hider mitzvah of Ner Chanukah could in itself justify a bracha, which we have no precedent for this at all in Allah. It's not just like brand new. Yeah. Alan, do you want to say something?
I think in you too. Chinuch
Habayit. Chinuch Habayit? You want to use that term? Okay.
Educating the Bayis and everyone else.
To make sure that everyone's educated in the midst of their Chanukah. Okay, I'm not sure that Chinuch would apply in this case if you already fulfilled the mitzvah. But you're saying Chinuch for the Hidra. So that's how I would say it. You know, Because the Hidra Mitzvah means that it becomes a Chovas HaGuf. Now, last week we had a long discussion about the Ramban. The Ramban's opinion is that the reason why the bracha on Ner Chanukah is lahadlik rather than al hadlokas Ner Chanukah is because the mitzvah is the maisa hadloka. Now, the question is, how do we understand this Ramban? This Ramban seems to be totally antithetical to our concept of a Chovas HaBayis. Because if the Ramban is telling us that there's a mitzvah in the Maisa HaDloka, that means it's a Chovas HaGuf. Each and every one of us is chayav in the Maisa HaDloka. So forget about Chovas HaBayis. So why is the mitzvah, why is the bracha lahadlik? So last week what we suggested is that what's unique about Ner Chanukah according to the Ramban is that although there's a Chovas HaGuf to do the Maisa HaDloka, nevertheless you can set up a shliach to do the HaDloka on your behalf. But it doesn't warrant the bracha of al because it's not a classical shlichus. It's the shlichus of a group when the maisa mitzvah is geared towards a goal. And what is that goal? Ner dolek bebeis, that the bayi should be equipped with a ner chanuk. So we have a very complex situation here where the Ramban on the one hand starts with the chiyuv maisa adloka. He finishes with the chovas bayis. And as a result, the Ramban establishes that there's no shlichus over here, in the classical sense of shluchok, that you become my shliach, and you replace me, and you represent me, all that is gone over here. Because otherwise the bracha would be al hadlokas ner chanukah. Says the Ramban, no. I appoint you as my shliach, but it's a different quality of shlichus. I think that it's my, I'm the mishalech, it's my hadlokah, because my mitzvah is the mice hadlokah. I, you'll ask if my mitzvah is the mice hadlokah, then there's no such thing as shlichus. Which is exactly the problem that the Rutz Kitzvi raised with regard to Tosfos Arid at the very beginning of this essay. And he says, Hikshu Achronim, how could it be that a mitzvah mutelas al gufo shel adam is efshel kaim al yidei shlichus? The Tosfos Arid in the Masechta Kiddushin establishes the limitations to shlichus. Shlichus only applies when it's not on his goof. When it's on his goof, like tefillin, I can't send you my shliach on tefillin. Oh, and yet, the Magen Avraham quotes the Bach, and the Bach says that it's a mitzvah mutelas al gufo shel adam. So we have a real problem up here. If it's a mitzvah mutelas al gufo shel adam, how can it operate through shlichus? How can I possibly ask you to light the Hanukkah candles on my behalf? And certainly in the case of Ishto, that's what we're going to do. So I think the answer is inherent in this Ramban. That there's a complex hybrid here. It's two elements that seem mutually exclusive that we integrate together. Because the surface of it, how can you call it a mitzvah shebegufo, maisa shebegufo? That's what he's obligated to do. The hadlok itself, there's no shlichus. And yet on the other hand, you're telling me it's a chovas bayis. Chovas bayis would be a classical case of a shliach. Like for example, I can send you as a shliach to put up a mezuzah for me. I can send you as a shliach to put up a makkah for me. So the bracha would be al. Why is the bracha in Ner Chanukah lit and we find shlichus? And the Ramban says no, it's lit because it's a maisa hadloka. So then the whole enterprise of shlichus in Ner Chanukah should fall down the wayside. But it works out beautifully now because what we're doing is we're integrating two factors. One factor, one definition is chovas maisa hadloka, which is the mitzvah shebegufo. The other factor is that this maisa hadloka is geared towards a goal. And what's the goal that I have to achieve? The bias dolk, that there's an air dolk mebesa. Ah, that changes the whole thing. That means that we all belong to one group. And my mitzvah of maisa shebegufa and your mitzvah of maisa shebegufa are very much related to each other. What relates them, what links them together? Because we're all part of one bias. Or, again, if you remember the pre-chodesh, because you're going to light my candles, whatever, the Bible's under there. But leaving out the pre-chodesh, if we go to Magen Avraham, then the fact that we're all members of the same household, that links us together. And even when the mitzvah is a maisa shebegufo, there's a kind of a shlichus which says that we can appoint one representative and his maisa should be related to all of us. But at the end of the day, it's as if each one of us personally lit the ner. And therefore, that justifies the bracha of lamed lahadli. And in this sense, we are really integrating two definitions into one. That's the whole beauty of Ner Chanukah, the complexity of Ner Chanukah. It's on the one hand, a chovas haguf. On the other hand, there is some sort of shlichus here. So how can it be shlichus on a chovas haguf? And the answer is because it's a chovas bayis. The Choves HaGuf is to set up a bias which is equipped with an Ner Chan. Okay, so that's what we have. That's what we have.
Can I ask you a practical question? You always get invited out for Chanukah, who have guests for Chanukah.
Right.
Should one in reality set up candles for them to light if they're going to go out and light? Or?
So that only you'll have to ask me that question in about a week or two, because that's the whole sugya on Daf Chav Gimel of Achsanoi. I'll just show you the sugya inside. So you shouldn't think I'm just pushing you off, but the sugya is on Chav Gimel. If you could fast forward to Chav Gimel.
You just want me to come back.
Right, that's also part of it. No, a lot of people ask me questions during Shia that I can't answer because I'm just not ready for it. You know?
Okay.
Like today I had a whole Shia in which I discussed, Sam will love this because he's a big Tzioni. We discussed Yom HaTzma'ut today, Sam. You would have enjoyed it because he's a big fan of Yom HaTzma'ut. I'm just kidding. But so I asked the Gechever if they appreciate Yom HaTzma'ut, because a lot of Yom HaTzma'ut, if you're a flag waving Yom HaTzma'ut person, is here in Chanukah, and specifically in the Rambam Hilchos Chanukah. So again, they were asking me questions. I said, wait, let's hold off until we get to develop this idea of what's called Malchus B'Yisrael. What's kingship in Israel? Could the state of Israel possibly be kingship in Israel, so that we recognize and celebrate the day in which this Malchus, this political independence, whatever it is, if it's, I don't know if it's totally independence, becomes a kind of malucha. So you have to understand the Rambam Chashmonaim. The Rambam says that the reason why Chanukah was established is because the Chashmonaim became the kings of Israel. And the Ramban is very upset about that. So that's going to be a whole discussion unto itself. But if you take a look here on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, you have to go down about 10 lines or even more. Amar Rav Sheshes, and the first word in the line that I want you to look at is Achsenoi. If you're on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, do you have the word Achsenoi? Yes, no, maybe so. Anybody? Yeah. Achsenoi Chayav B'Ner Chanukah. So this is a pella. Imagine if I were to tell you that Achsenoi is Chayav in Tefillin. So you would say to me, Yashikarach, I mean, did I think that a guest at someone's house didn't bring his tefillin along with him? Of course he brought his tefillin. So what's the chiddush here? Achsenoi chayav b'ner chanukah. So Ran says because it's a chovas bias. So if it's a chovas bias and he's just a guest, then it's not his bias, and therefore he's not chayav b'ner chanukah. Oh, so that's beautiful. But then the question is, what's the kamash? What's the final maskot? He says, no, that he's chayav in Ner Chanukah. So the question is, what do you mean he's chayav in Ner Chanukah? If it's a chovas bias, he's not a member of the household. So what we have to say is that somehow financially he's connected to this household, that he becomes a ben bias. And that's the next line in the Gemara, which we have to study at great length. But it's not for now. Amar Rav Zera, where is it? Amar Rav Zera. Meiresh ki avina beirav mishtatfina beprite v'hadi yushpiza. He says the following, that he would chip in a pruta, a minimum of pruta, for the ner, for the shemen ner. So that gives him somehow a quasi status of a ben bias, such that the bias, the chovas hadlok of the bias, is now related to him as well. Why? Because he's a part owner of the shemen. I mean, my high, it was just because he's a part owner of the shemen, how does that achieve your goal? So, Alan, you'll have to ask me your question when we get to Daf Chav Gimel, and in that sense, we'll be able to hopefully analyze. Now, I found a very fascinating chiddush here that I wanted to share with you in an article by Harav Yechiel Grossman. And honestly, I don't know who he is. If somebody could find that out for me. Yechiel Prince is usually great at that. He's not here. You know, you go online and you figure out who this man is. But the impression I get is that he's a contemporary, because he quotes all the contemporary Mefarshim. So the question is, do we want to photocopy this so you'll have a copy of it? Or do you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's do it in two stages. Stage one, I'll try to summarize the highlights of this. I underline the highlights of this article. I spent a lot of time going through it. if after I highlight the article in a summary form, you would still like to see it inside, because again, I'm skipping over major chunks, but I just want to get to the kishkas of the article, then we could either take a break today or maybe after this year, and we could photocopy it. All right then?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair? That's kind of like a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, in the first two paragraphs of this article, he summarizes the sugi that we've been learning on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. And he comes to the conclusion that lahalacha we paskin that the inferior oils can be used during the chol, because we paskin kofsa ein zokek lo, even though there's a serious chashash that if you use the inferior oils they will be extinguished, but it's okay because you yotze the mitzvah. And number two, that you're even allowed to use these inferior oils on Leil Shabbos, even though normally we would say Shemayata, but here there's no Shemayata because also Lishtamish Lior. That's first two paragraphs. Now, in the balance of this essay, he quotes three different rulings of the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Chanukah, and he has a question on each one of the three rulings. And at the end of this article, he's going to redefine Ner Chanukah, and hopefully, if he's successful, with a jury, I guess, he's going to answer up all these three problems. The first Mechaber is, I'll just announce, in case you're interested, where it is in the Mechaber, because we might want to look this up inside. So number one is going to be Tofresh Ayin Gimel, Se'if Beis. And here, this is something that's very perplexing. The Taz has a lot of trouble with this Mechaber. The Mechaber says, Hadloka osa mitzvah, lefichach in kovsa, ein zakukla. Now let's try to understand. The Gemara is going to have a machlokes, whether or not you actually have to light the candles. That's called Hadloka osa mitzvah, we didn't get to this yet. Or Hanoch osa mitzvah, which means, I don't have to light the candles, I just have to take the candle that's lit and place it in the right place. So let's say, for example, a cheri shota v'katan would have lit the candles. I can pick it up and put it mi pesach beis mi bachutz, locating it in the right area, and I'm yotze the mitzvah. That's called hanochos the mitzvah.
And while you Torah online, my identification still is.
I found him as an accountant, but maybe a different
guy. But
in 1996, sugi the kafsa b'ner Chanukah.
Oh,
May 27th, 1959, Rabbi Yechiel Grossman. But I don't get.
They don't give you any information about it?
I mean, here it is. Here's the actual, here's probably your article. Right there. Right? On top?
No.
Okay, but I'm saying, obviously...
Oh, on top of this list, you mean?
See the Hebrew?
Yeah. So can you go into that?
But it doesn't tell me who it is.
Because usually they have a little bio about the person. If you go into his...
Okay.
Try it, see if you get a little bio. He may be the Rav from Memphis, I doubt it, but... Sometimes on a, you know, even though they give you this on a smartphone, there's certain features that you can't get on the smartphone that you get on the computer.
They have a lot of shurim by him. It's just kind of shurim.
So I'm just saying, go into that shir, the one that you mentioned to me.
Yeah, and, but I have to be able to sign in, so.
Oh, you have to sign in to go into the shir.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh, I see. Because when you get to the person's page, it's called the speaker, that's what they call it, then there's inevitably a bio about the speaker.
It seems to be a bio, but I don't know.
Okay. I suspect he might be the Rav from Memphis. The Rav from Memphis was Rabbi Grossman. He retired, I think he came on Aliyah. Anybody know him?
Well, this shurim in 1955, so...
Yeah, no, he's no youngster. Rabbi Finkelstein, who's here up the block, he took over after Rav Grossman retired. And this Rav Finkelstein, who's here in what's called Nitzanim, he was the Rav in Memphis for 10 years. And then he came back there to Israel. All right, anyway, let me leave out the...
Taught at MTA.
Okay. So let's leave out the history right now for the time being. Oh, maybe he's Rabbi Grossman from Muncie. Okay, anyway, whoever he is. So he asked the following question. What is the Mechaber telling me? Hadlokos and mitzvah, therefore kovsa ein zakukla. The machlokas, whether hadlokos and mitzvah or hanochos and mitzvah, has no bearing on kovsa ein zakukla. On the contrary, you know, it would seem that if I hold Hanochos of Mitzvah, all I have to do is place down the candle that's already lit, I didn't even light it, and I would be Yotzei. So why can't I hold a Kav Sein Zoka Klo, even if I maintain that Hanochos of Mitzvah? And this is the problem of the Taz. Hataz Maksha Al Zesha Poska Machabad Lokos of Mitzvah Fichokim Kav Sein Zoka Klo. He says, Ein Yodea, this is the language of the Taz, Ein Yodea Heich Toli Zebezeh. Afilim Tim Salom Ranochos of Mitzvah, who I didn't gain. Kosa Ein Zoka Klo. Again, the only question is whether I have to light it or I have to place it. But as to whether or not I have to rekindle it, that's irrelevant. So that's question number one. Then we go on to question number two. The Mechaber Paskins, also I think in Tofresh Ayin Gimel, that in Kofsa Be'erev Shabbos, that if the candle goes out on Erev Shabbos, then Ein Zokuklo. He doesn't have to rekindle it, even if it went out before Kabbalah Shabbos. And once again, the Taz is very perplexed by this. He says, Yesh lahadlik od pam. He says, logically, we should say he has to light it again. Im kov sol lifnei Kabbalah Shabbos. He still has the opportunity to light it. You know, it's on Erev Shabbos when he lights so early that it's before the Shas Chova. Then obviously he wants the Nair to be Dolok. And basically, Taz is saying that the whole machlokas about Kovsa Zokal or Ein Zokal applies during the weekdays of Chanukah, but on the night of Shabbos, everybody has to agree that Kovsa Zokal. How can the Machaber say Ein Zokal? Because if it went out before he was Makabal Shabbos, then where's the Nair Dolok on Chanukah? It's before the Zmana. In fact, we had a long discussion last week, if you remember, the Magen Avraham Paskins, that if a woman was already Mekabel Shabbos and she hasn't yet lit Ner Chanukah, she made a boo-boo because she was meant to light Ner Chanukah first and then afterwards, but she didn't do so. So he says she can appoint someone who wasn't Mekabel Shabbos to light the Ner Chanukah on her behalf. And this led us to the conclusion that we're not building on Shlichus here, because if she can't do it herself, how could she appoint a Shliach? But you see very clearly that that before Shabbos, you know, if there's any possibility under the sun, you know, somehow to get that nair up and running, up and lit before Shabbos, that's what you have to do. I think that even if you're Makabel Shabbos, we're going to allow you to tell someone else to light the candle on your behalf, which is a violation of the laws of Shlichus. And all this is to make sure that the candle is lit going into Shabbos. Comes along the Machaber, he says he lit the candle before he was Mekabel Shabbos. Now if the candle goes out, even though he wasn't yet Mekabel Shabbos, he doesn't have to rekindle it. Why? What did he accomplish with this Hadlaka that immediately it went out, and it's so early, it's before the Zman of Chanukah? So Bishleim, alright, look, if he was already Mekabel Shabbos, and he can't find anyone else who wasn't yet Mekabel Shabbos, so there's no possibility of lighting the candles, Nicha, that I understand. But we're talking about a case in the Machaber's frame of reference where he found out about the candle being extinguished before he was Mekabel Shabbos. Let him. Why shouldn't he light the candles? That's the Taz's kash. Oh. Now we get to a third din. This is all based on a Rashba. The case was the following. After he lit the Chanukah candles, he tried to fix it up a little bit. Litakna. You know, he saw it was a little bit wavering, you know. I don't know if you have this experience. I have it all the time. You really have to test out your... you know, they sell these things today, you know, with the built-in wicks or something, you know. It's like already a glass or whatever. Test it out before Chanukah. I've had such anguish from that stuff. You know, if you don't get the right one, sometimes the oil gets congealed. A million and one things have happened. Anyway, so what happened was that he realized after he lit the Chanukah candles that something is not so good over here. So he comes to Takna, you know, he has very good intentions. V'kavas haner. And he put out the nair completely. Bishoni, not intentionally. Im chayav lachzit, this is a question that was asked to the Rashba, does he have to go back and light it again? and make a bracha again. And the Rashba answers, Eino chayv ladlika, because kavsa ain't zakakla. So the Rashba seems to assume that kavsa ain't zakakla has nothing whatsoever to do with hadlakos and mitzvah. If it was b'shogeg, but he didn't have kavana to put it out, he doesn't have to light it again. So now the Marshal comes to object against this psak, which is codified in the Mechaber. And the Marshal says that he tzorach lachzor ladlika. You know, kosein zokigla means when the natural forces of the energy, you know, of the universe come and blow out his candle. But now he himself put out his candle. No one would say that that's called kovsa. That's kiva. Kovsa means in the... Well, what's that called? Not the active, but the reflexive, whatever it's called. You know what I mean? Right? Intransitive. So it was kovsa. But now he was machaber in there in a causative way. Again, he's a shogeg. I feel bad for him. I don't want to give him flagellated. But on the other hand, there's no ner dolok over here, and this is not kovsa. So the Marshal, who lived 5 centuries ago, he's almost a contemporary of the Machaber, he doesn't understand this. And therefore he comes to the conclusion that tzorach lachzor uladlika. Okay. Now there are 2 more kashas here until we get to the punchline, like the breakthrough. So the next kasha, he quotes in the name of the Yeshuas Yaakov. Have you heard of the Yeshuas Yaakov? His name was Rav Yaakov Orenstein. He lived in Galicia about, I would say it's close to 2 centuries ago by now. The reason I know anything about him is because Rav Aaron Salvation, Zichron Brochen, gave me 3 gigantic volumes for my bar mitzvah. I'm telling you, I was this little pipsqueak bar mitzvah boy walking around with 3 gigantic volumes called the Yeshuas Yaakov. Of course, I didn't crack it open for another four decades because it was all Chinese to me. But somehow Rav Aaron Salvation thought I was a genius, and at the age of 13, I could read the Yeshuas Yaakov. Anyway, he's one of the main Ashkenazic poskim in Or Chaim, at least, even though he wrote on all 4 halakim. And he says the following. He says, "Kevan de b'Shabbos madlikim mibeod yom." Since on Erev Shabbos we have to light, and it's still light outside. He says, "Imkena milo nechush." Why shouldn't we be afraid? Kishem madlik bepsilos u'shmanim. When you use these inferior candles, mibeod yom shemati chabaner. As it's very, you know, it's very common or very there's a high probability rate that these inferior candles will go out. And now he's lighting mibod yom when it's light out. It's Erev Shabbos. He says, "The afshem akabel of Shabbos miyad." And the question is even more severe. If let's say he intends to light the Hanukkah candles, then immediately be makabel Shabbos, and he won't have the opportunity to guarantee and supervise the ner, and it's an inferior quality ner. He says, how do you understand that this halacha should apply on Shabbos like it does the rest of the week of Hanukkah, that even inferior lights, and this question, says the Marshal, says the Yeshuas Yaakov, is especially poignant if you hold like the Taz. Remember the Taz holds that when you light the Ner Hanukkah on Erev Shabbos, is kavsa zakakla, if it goes out before you makabel Shabbos. So why then should we allow the use of psilos u'shmanim shehem psulim l'shabbos, and because they're very weak and very unreliable, why should we rely on that on Leil Shabbos? And then finally his last question, he says in the name of the Avnei Nezer. He says, right, the Gemara offers 2 possibilities as to how to understand Bishatishka Chama Chetichla Regel Menashuk. First, the Gemara says the Ilo Adlik Madlik, that's the time period within which you should light. And the second one is Lashi'ura, that's the amount of oil you should put in. And the Rambam Paskins like both Lashonos. And therefore, the Rambam says you have to light within that period of time, and you have to put a shear in the oil that it would last that period of time. Like both. Says the Avnei Nezer, Lefi Zeh, Tzarech La'avin, Taina D'Kovsein Zokakla. you've basically undermined the whole enterprise is Kof Sayin Zakakla. It came in the Mechuyav, Shia Dole Kolashir. Obviously, I think we touched on this question, right? That since the shear is that you have to have enough oil that it can last for that period of time, is Ach Petochas Man. He has to guarantee himself that it'll last for that period of time, even if it goes out within the time. The Afsha Avar Ktsasman, so it was lit for a certain limited amount of time, Yishtishkach Chamo. Madlik, he should still light it. Why? Because the whole point of the shear of Shemen is to make sure that it be lit for that period of time. Farezit Domal Mitzvah Tefillin, She Mitzvah Hanachas Midina, according to the strict laws, Kol Hayom, you should wear Tefillin the whole day. Uvikomakomim, Lo Yiniach Mitzvah Hayom, Vechibishvil Zelo Yaniach Shar Hayom. I'm not exactly sure that I understand the Sokhan Shomer here, why he's making an equation to Tefillin. Let me try it again. Again, we're saying now that the shear of the Nair is that it should last for half hour. Now we're out in the middle of that time. So he's comparing it to tefillin. That since what? Since you have to wear the tefillin the whole day. I don't understand. Okay. You have it, Sam? What's his equation?
You have to wear it the whole day, right?
Right.
So if you didn't wear it part of the day, you still should put it on later. Or for some reason you have to take it off, you should put it on later.
Right, but that's only because you didn't wear the tefillin, but here...
No, say you wore it, and then you have to take it off. You should put it on again.
Ah, let me think about that. In other words, since the mitzvah is kol hayom, since you took it off, you have to put it on. Excellent. Oh, I see. Sam is right. In other words, again, you lit the half hour, and it was lit for a minute. But it has to be lit the whole half hour, so if it went out, you should have to relight it, just like in tefillin, you have to put back on your tefillin. Aha, excellent. Sorry, I missed that point. So therefore, says the Sokacha, I don't understand if the Rambam is right, that we pass in like this shiura, and the halacha requires a minimum of a half hour's worth of oil, then if it goes out, I have to rekindle it. Okay, so these are all the questions.
Yes, it is.
Normally, if I had the kochas, I would review all the questions for myself, but I don't have the kochas. I think we more or less have it. Oh. So he says the Vahan, Levire Kol Zeh Nira Li. Okay, so hopefully this is going to be a breakthrough that's going to put all these different questions into perspective, and we'll have an answer for all of them. He says, what does Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah mean? Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah means that there are two takanos in Ner Chanuk. Takana Rishona is Zecha Lemenorah. Do you remember this concept that we touched upon? That since the Nes happened in the menorah in the Mikdash, we want to remember the menorah in the Mikdash. It's kind of like we remember Karbanos, and we have Musaf, or remember the way they took the Lulav all times, or they counted the Omer. You know, whatever we do Zecha. So here we're doing Zecher to the menorah in the Mikdash. He has a proof from a Rashi that we didn't get up to, so I'm going to skip that for now. Oh, he says, now there's another takana. And that takana has nothing to do with the menorah in the Mikdash, but rather, it's the takana of Pirsum HaNes. We're not trying to remind you at this point of the menorah, we want to remind you of the miracle itself. Because that's a great Kiddush Hashem to publicize the miracle. Oh. Okay. So he says the following. That the Gemara vacillates back and forth whether Hadlokos of Mitzvah or Hanochos of Mitzvah. And the bracha is Asher Kishon Mitzos and Sivon Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah. And the Gemara on Daf Chof Gimel is going to use the Nusach HaBrach as a proof that Hadlokos of Mitzvah. In other words, if we would have paskin Hanochos of Mitzvah, the Nusach HaBrach would have been Asher Kishon Mitzos and Sivon Lahadlik Ner Shal, Lahaniach Ner Shal Chanukah. But since the Nuscha Brocha is Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah, the Gemara says Shmamina Hadlokos and Mitzvah. Oh. V'nirem. Shabracha shalahadlik. Since the bracha is on the hadlaka, nitkina keneged mitzvahs hadlaka. Interesting. Remember we said that there were two takanos, and he ordered them in a particular way. The sequence apparently is very crucial for him. He wants to say that the first takana was the mitzvah hadlaka, which has to do with hadlaka, samanora, and the migdash. And therefore, the bracha is going to be asher kitzar mitzvah of tzimara lehadlik. The second element of the mitzvah, which is a takana of pirsum anes, that's not reflected in the bracha of lehadlik. But wait a second, he just finished saying it's part of the takana of Ner Chanukah, so it does deserve a bracha. So he says an unbelievable chiddush. He says, "V'abracha shniyah sha'asa nisim la'moseinu nitkina kineged mitzvahs pirsum anes." Now, honestly, I always was, you know, I was taught to believe that the bracha of Shasa Nisim was a Birkas HaShevach. Right? We have two different categories of brachas. We have Birkas HaMitzvah and Birkas HaShevach. He's claiming that a Shasa Nisim is also a Birkas HaMitzvah. And I'm, what do you say, John?
I think the Rav says something very similar to that.
The Rav said something like that?
I think so.
So wait a second, let me just add something of my own and tell me if the Rav said this, because it could be what I'm going to say the Rav said. I don't know. If he did, I'm happy. I would like to say the following, that if this is correct, then both brachos should be recited before you light the ner. Why? Because we have a principle of Birchas HaMitzvah called over l'asiyasan, that the bracha always has to come before the asiyah. Now, if he's telling me that the mitzvah is a twofold mitzvah of hadlaka zecher l'menorah plus pirsum anes, and connected these two mitzvahs, they were attacking two brachos, meaning that the bracha of shasa nisim is on the pirsum anes, then I should be making that bracha before I light the first candle. Now, John, tell me, if you could figure this out for me, you have access to the Rav's Torah. I have it somewhere. Maybe I'll appoint you as my shliach if you don't mind. I think the Rav's minog was to light the first candle after to recite the bracha lahadlik, then light the candle, and then shasa nisim after he lit the candle. The Bostonians will know this. You know, well, I'm not sure because you'd have to have seen. Or maybe the Rav instructed, I don't know what he instructed the Talmidim to do in Boston, you know what I mean?
When you say the first candle, are you talking about the Shamas or the actual first
candle? No, I'm not talking about the Shamas. So the first candle will be lit right after Lahadlik, and then the Rav's minig was, at that point, after you lit the first candle after Lahadlik, then you recited Shasa Nisan. Because that becomes a Birch HaShevach V'Odoya. A Birch HaShevach V'Odoya goes backwards, whereas a Birch HaMitzvah goes forward. He's learning. This Rav Grossman is learning that both brachos are on the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Okay, let's just go on. He says, why did the Rambam paskin like both lishonos? Both that ilo adlik madlik and also lishiura. And the answer is the following, that the Rambam holds that since there's a mitzvah of pirsum anes, that's why we have to make sure that we light during this period of time up to but not beyond shetich l'regel min hashuk. So now it comes out that why did the Rambam accept both answers of the Gemara? You'll see that Tosfos, we discussed this at great length, sees that there's a stira, there's a kasha, and that if you accept the second answer, then you could light even after shetich l'regel min hashuk. The Rambam has both the first answer, the Ilo Adlik Madlik, and the second answer, that you need a Shiura. Whereas according to Tosis, if you accept with Shiura, then by definition, you don't have the Ilo Adlik Madlik. And you can light way later than after Regel Min Ashur. That's why he says, Bizvan Azeh, we're allowed to light later. Again, this will also touch on the discussion we had before about Rav Avad Yosef and the Shevet Halevi, because, you know, we were saying that it's critical, and the Ita Bismano Kitikuna. I don't know if all that is so relevant anymore, because Bismano said we light even later. But according to the Rambam, we have to light on time, and that's Pirsum Anes. And we're going to accept now the second answer, the Gemara Inama L'Shiur, because that's also predicated on Pirsum HaNes. So there's no contradiction between the two interpretations. They're both Ol L'Kon Echad. Oh, and he says, now we can answer the Avdei Nezus Kasha. What was the Avdei Nezus Kasha? Since there's a mitzvah that it should be lit for the entire shir, then like in the case of tefillin, okay, you have to take off your tefillin, put it back on. If the candle went out, you should rekindle it. He says, the answer is no. We have to put in shemen in order that it should be dolek the whole shir, but there are no two mitzvahs here. It's not that the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes stands on its own as an independent mitzvah of Adlaka, but rather, it's all one indivisible mitzvah that's comprised of two elements. And he says the following, V'takona shnia, the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes, tluya v'takona's mitzvah rishon v'adlaka. In other words, it's all one package deal. It's not two mitzvahs nifrados, two separate independent mitzvahs, but one mitzvah. And therefore, it makes sense that the chiyuv of the second element, which is called Pirsum HaNes, that's why we're compelled to have enough oil to last for that whole period of time, that will only kick in, that will be totally contingent upon the first mitzvah. If the first mitzvah of Hadlaka was fulfilled, so you already have the Zeicher LeMikdash, there is no longer a chiyuv of Pirsum HaNes. So these two brachas that represent and reflect two different mitzvahs will be organized and recited on one Hadlaka, because that Hadlaka has two elements to it. Number one, it's a chiyuv of mitzvah rishona, you know, it's a fulfillment of the first mitzvah of Hadlaka Zeicher LeMenorah, and it's also at the same time a chiyuv of Pirsum HaNes. However, if let's say you fulfilled the mitzvah hadlaka, then there is no separate additional chiyuv of a takana of Pirsum HaNes. Is therefore ein on the mischayev mitzvah pirsum levad as a separate independent entity, but rather only if mitzvah hadlaka mechayev is also be mitzvah pirsum. Meaning, if you have a mitzvah chobas hadlaka, that chobas hadlaka will generate a mitzvah pirsum. If a person is exempt from the mitzvah hadlaka, is memela, he's parted from the mitzvah pirsum. So therefore, if we're going to say that since hadlaka is a mitzvah, the mice hadlaka is kavsa ein zakut la, then there is no mitzvah of pirsum, and therefore the sakut shabbos kasher, but I need a shear of a half hour, is no longer a kasher, because that mitzvah of the shear of a half hour is contingent and is generated by the chiyuv of Maisad Loka, if he already fulfilled the chiyuv of Maisad Loka, and that was itself a chiyuv of Zeicher LeMenorah, then there's no separate independent mitzvahs pirsum that emerges. So therefore, once you pass in Kofsa Ein Zakut La, the level of the Maisa of the Maisa mitzvah, which is the takana of Zeicher LeMenorah, there is no Pirsum HaNes to generate a new chiv of Ner Dolk, like the case of tefillin, that you have to have your tefillin on your head the whole day. And he says, Kach mashma mi'abir aloch. He wants to be a daikis. That's why I say I think he's a contemporary. Well, the fact that he's on Y.U. Torah would mean he's a contemporary. And he says that the bir aloch writes the following in Tofei Shayim Gibel. This is a verbatim quote in the Mishnah of the Mishnah Berurah bir aloch. He says, "V'da od demasha amru ein zakek lo hainu afilim kavu kulam." The Mishnah wants to know: will we pass the kavsa ein zakek lo if all the candles went out? Now, if all the candles went out, we're left without the extra kiyum of mahadrin for Pirsum HaNes. And the Mishnah Berurah says, "No, he doesn't have to rekindle the lights even if all of them were extinguished." The lo ve'inan Pirsum HaNes ela b'shas hadlaka. Fascinating. We're going to integrate these two elements, and we're going to say that once he implements the Maisa Adlaka, that itself is Pirsum HaNes, and he achieves the key of Pirsum HaNes. He doesn't have to rekindle it in order to continue Pirsum HaNes, because at that point you would set up Pirsum HaNes as an independent mitzvah that stands in its own 2 feet. So since Pirsum HaNes is an extension of and dependent upon the first mitzvah, which is Adlaka, since Hadlaka osa mitzvah and kavsa ain't zakeklah, is therefore there's no pirsum hanes, and you don't have to rekindle the light. So again, this is beautiful, very meduyik in the Bir Halacha's language when he says, "Demasha amru ein zokut lahainu afilu kavu kula." You know, he's left with zero pirsum hanes because all the lights went out. It was a great gust of wind. To love the inner pirsum hanes elo b'shas hadlaka. So in other words, without the mitzvah hadlaka, there is no independent chiyuv of pirsum hanes. Ulefi zeh nuchal lahavim. We can now understand this din hasheni shel ha-machaber. So, so far we've explained to machaber why kovsa ein zokakla is a result of hadlakos and mitzvah. If you didn't introduce hadlakos and mitzvah, and you would have the mitzvah pirsum hanes, then we would have paskin mitzvah that kovsa zokakla. So the machaber introduces why is it that kovsa ein zokakla? It's because hadlakos and mitzvah. And any pirsum hanes obligation that might emerge is dependent upon whether or not he fulfilled his mitzvah sadlaka. So since we say hadlaka also mitzvah is kosei zakakla, and he's not going to be bothered and hounded by the kiyum of pirsum hanes. Again, let me see. How did we answer? Just one second. So we answered two of our questions. I just want to make sure I have the cheshbon. What was the Rashba was that what that he doesn't have to rekindle even though it wasn't dolek the whole shear. Either Raman Paskins that you need a shear. So the answer is everything depends upon the hadlaka. Okay, so that answers the kasha of the Avnei-Nezer. Now, and the second kash is the kash of the Taz. That's also it. So again, let's go over the Taz's question. The Taz asks, why did the Machaber say that hadlokos mitzvah l'ficha kov sein zokakla? Even if I would hold hanochos mitzvah, I would still maintain that kov sein zokakla. There's no difference between hadlokos mitzvah and hanochos mitzvah as to whether or not kov sein zokakla or ein zokakla. So what was the Machaber making it l'ficha, that it's hobo hatali, it's interdependent? The answer is, because if you didn't have the halacha of hadlaka osa mitzvah, then you would be left with the kiyum of pirsum hanes, and that would generate a chiyuv, if it went out, to rekindle it, in order to achieve the pirsum hanes, which is measured by the barometer of the shear in the nair, and we've already paskin that you need a shear in the nair. Kamash v'lon, that's what the Machaber wants to paskin, then hadlaka osa mitzvah. And since hadlaka osa mitzvah means that the mitzvah of the second mitzvah, the second takon of pirsum hanes, is dependent upon hadlaka, is there a chiyuv hadlaka or is there not? Since we're passing hadlaka osa mitzvah, therefore there's no second mitzvah of pirsum hanes. He was already mekayim hadlaka osa mitzvah with that minute that it was lit. So we now have answers to two questions. We understand how to deal with the shear of Ad Shetichla Regem Hashuk. We now understand why the Machaber makes everything dependent upon Hadlokos and Mitzvah. V'ata Nuchal Lahavenes Hadin Ashlishi B'Piskei HaMachaber. The third question that we asked. And what was that question? Akov Sein Zokakla. And even though he lit very early on Erev Shabbos, right? He lit very early on Erev Shabbos, and it went out before he was Makabel Shabbos. Correct? Shafilim Kovsa Kodim Kabbal Shabbos Ein Zokakla. Now, how could that be? He wasn't yet Makabel Shabbos, and it's so early. So what are you going to tell me? He fulfilled the mitzvah hadlaka, so let him rekindle the light for the mitzvah pirsum hanes. But if he already fulfilled the mitzvah hadlaka, there's no point to being mechayev him in the mitzvah of pirsum hanes. Therefore, ain't zokakla. V'chein mashvi, he says, midivrei Ramban. The Ramban writes that on Shabbos, kuliyamu lo pli, that kovsa ein zokakla. And therefore it means that on Leil Shabbos, that they would kovei the zman for Adlaka as being very early is Kosein Zakuk La, because he already is Makayim the Mitzvah Adlaka. Then he quotes the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen says, "Be'erev Shabbos Ikra Mitzvah Hi HaHadlaka." The Kevon Shenifta Madlaka. Since on Erev Shabbos he fulfilled the Mitzvah of Hadlaka, his Anal of Chiyuv shall pursue Nisa, and therefore Ein Zok. Okay, I mean, just to summarize, the whole article is built on one premise, that the two dimensions of Takonis Ner Chanukah, Hadlaka and Pirsum, belong to one indivisible entity. That's his breakthrough. Now the Rav, I think, has a discussion about Pirsum Anes somewhere here in the Hari Kedem. Question if I can find it. Oh, let's see. Nope, sorry, I got the wrong page. Oh, this is it. This is Simon Kuf Samach He. It's called the Yesod Mitzvah Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. And he says, Yesh, I'm just going to read you a few lines here. He says, Yesh ba'adlokas ner chanaka kiyu mitzvah midirei sofim ba'adlokas haner. The ode, Yesh ba'adloka mitzvahs pirsu v'gilui hanes. So he's also operating with two dimensions to the mitzvah ner chanaka. Number one, the adloka. And number two, the pirsu. But he's not operating necessarily with this zechel l'menorah that he doesn't mention. And he wants to suggest the following. The Rama writes in Perek Dalet Halacha Ches, Bimei HaSakana Meiniach Ner Chanukah Toch Beiso Mibifnim V'afilu Hiniach Al Shulchano Dayo. Okay, I don't see any problem with this Rama. Tzorech Biru Ma'ashikos Ram She'afilu Hiniach Al Shulchano Dayo. Why did the Rambam have to say afilu, even though he put it on his table, that was enough? The Rambam already said, meiniach odom ner chanukah betok beiso mibifnim. So why did he have to add even on his table? Hakvar kosem shasakot meiniach betok beiso mibifnim. What's this addition of the Rambam that he has to say that meiniach al shulchano? That's his kash. I got it. I know where he's going with this. It means that the Rambam wants to say that there's no element of Pirsum Anes here at all when he puts it on the Shulchan, and therefore you would think that in this case there's no mitzvah Ner Chanukah. The answer is the Hadlaka emerges as an independent mitzvah, but it's not contingent upon Pirsum Anes. Let's see if I'm right. He says, V'nira da Rambam bo l'chadish bo z'deyesh chobas Hadlaka. Oh, afil bi ofen she'ein pirsum anes klal. It fits in quite well with this Rav Grossman, because Rav Grossman is saying that the mitzvah of pirsum anes is engendered by the chovas hadlaka, and it could not be an independent mitzvah of hadlakas, of pirsum anes. The Rav is saying something very similar. The Rav is saying that the Chiddush of the Rambam is that even if there would be no Pirsum at all, no element of Pirsum at all, you would still have the mitzvah Adlaka. For example, Kigon Shemadlik al Shulchan. Once he lights it on his dining table, then there's no Pirsum Anes at all. Why is that so? So to explain that, he quotes the halacha that Lo yadlik el b'mokum shmadlikim aneros. In other words, we need a heker to the bnei abayis. Oh, and the Ram wants to tell a chiddush here that if he puts it on his table, then there's no hekera at all, even for the bnei abayis. And why is that so? Because why did he put this candle on his table? And the answer is because he needs it to eat his meal. So the Ram wants to say that when he puts the candle on his table, he forfeits the element of pirsumnesk entirely. But nevertheless, it's mekayim the mitzvah hadlaka, which remains.
He can use the light.
What?
He holds you can use the light.
I don't know. I'm not sure if he's going to go that far. But it certainly looks like he's about to use the light.